This is Mona Lisa Baseball. Well, here we are in season five. First question I love to ask, how are you feeling about baseball? And how are you feeling about Major League Baseball? Because for me, those two are different things. I'm more in love with baseball than I've ever been, and that's happened every year of this project. I'm less in love with Major League Baseball every single year because the sport of baseball was as fine a game as I think humanity's ever created, and now we're just chipping away at something perfect, and I don't think it's making it better. A few troubling trends are on my mind. I'd like to start with the Tampa disaster. So this is a baseball team that, well, let's get real. They've had some successful seasons record-wise, but they're not a very good franchise. They have an absolutely horrible stadium, and then the stadium basically got leveled by a hurricane. They can't seem to figure out who's going to pay for the fixings of it. They haven't been able to figure out how to put a product on the field that the fans really get behind. They famously couldn't sell out playoff games. And right now, there's quibbling between the city, the ownership, who's going to pay for what. There's even been talk of them moving to Orlando. It's just messy. It just makes the sport look bad. Why did Florida get two teams and neither of them are very popular? Yeah, they got a couple titles, but were people really, really behind that squad? I mean, they were at the time, sure. But the Tampa disaster is nothing short of that. And speaking of disaster, we're going to move right into the Sacramento A's. I remember being astounded when I saw ticket prices for the opening weekend and thought, God, something doesn't seem right about that. And then it didn't take long before the A's were not selling out a 10,000-seat stadium in Sacramento. Let's get super real about this right now. Sacramento is in a part of California that gets very hot in the summer. Not selling out April games, I can 100% promise you, you're not going to sell out July games, especially if it's over 95. I mean, Sacramento can routinely get over 100, over 110 at times with no roof option. They're not popular in April. Good luck in the future. And let's talk about their Vegas possibility. The ownership likes to say, oh yeah, we're right on schedule for moving out to Vegas 2028, but it's been said that you need a minimum of 3 years to make a project like that happen from shovels in the dirt to completion. And they are under that three-year time limit at this point if they're going to play in Vegas in 2028. There's so many question marks that make you wonder what is going on with this franchise. And I think a great place to start an answer to that question is they have a horseshit owner. John Fisher is just, he's so bad for the sport. He makes it look bad. I don't feel like he's done anything right. I'll just say generously, maybe 1% of baseball fans or A's fans think he's doing a good job. It's probably less than that. This is a horrible owner. And I want to remind you that Reggie Jackson was completely lined up to buy the A's and Bud Selig blocked it. Supposedly, he had a connection to John Fisher, and in turn, he's helping make the sport look bad. Who knows where this story goes in the next few years, but it's certainly a troubling trend. It's not looking good. Neither is the old ESPN beef with Major League Baseball. Whether you're into ESPN or not as a sports channel, ESPN sort of rules the roost when it comes to sports media. There's been a decision that was made that very soon Major League Baseball will not be played on ESPN anymore. Doesn't mean you won't get SportsCenter highlights, but they've been doing games on ESPN, you know, I think Sunday Night Baseball typically for, well, 30 plus years. They couldn't decide on the numbers, and so it's not going to happen. It's a partnership that's not going to happen anymore. That might be fine. But it's a troubling trend that the major carrier of sports doesn't want to carry Major League Baseball anymore. And it could just be a contract dispute numbers-wise, but they're basically saying baseball's trending in a direction we're not interested in. Then you got a team like the Pirates, beautiful stadium from everything I've heard, and No one can come to games. They have arguably the most exciting, best pitcher, perhaps, in Major League Baseball, and it's only his second year, and Paul Skeens. And even he's not drawing. Now, Pittsburgh traditionally hasn't been a fantastic baseball town, but there was a lot of hype around Skeens, and they were real excited about him last year, and the numbers aren't there right now. And you got the Cardinals' attendance disappointing again. And anytime you hear baseball town, all St. Louis always comes up. These are real fans. They know the sport. You can't get them to show up to a game. I think that's a real problem. It's not that no one's showing up, but if you can't get St. Louis to be excited about their team and the sport, that's a problem. Our current commissioner, Rob Manfred, he just really loves to hide behind, you know, we're listening to our fans. We listen to our fans. You hear him say that all the time. That's lawyer speak. He's telling you what you want to hear. Nodding your head like, yeah. Yeah. We wanted the sport to move quicker. So, yeah, we got that pitch clock in. He's listening to the fans. He's also the one that's consistently always saying, always telling us, oh, yeah, the sport's up. We're up 6%. Attendance is up. Interest in the sport is up. We love the direction we're moving. We're growing the game. We're doing all the right things. We listen to our fans. Rob has one job. Rob is there to make the owners happy. The best way to make the owners happy is to make money for the owners. So when he's talking about growing the game and he's talking about we're up 33% in Asia, yeah, that's big numbers. He'll tell you, well, when we're trying to negotiate a deal and you got a billion people tuning in Asia, that's going to capture some attention. So what he's doing, if you want to break it down to the chorus of the core, if Rob could do one thing and one thing only, his only job is to make an owner's franchise worth more this year than it was worth last year. That's his only duty. That's it. And so he loves talking about optics. He loves talking about the growth. But that is the only thing that he actually cares about. Baseball owners don't even need to be baseball fans. And they used to all be fans. It might be business before fans. But now it's just, if we get in at the right time, we can flip the team and make a bill. Let's do it. We can flip the team and double our money. We can 10X. This is a lawyer that will say whatever it takes so that you tune in. We listen to our fans. You gotta be careful with this guy. His only job is to make the owner's money. How are you feeling about baseball right now? Do you feel the trend of things getting chipped away at? Should it be the commissioner's main focus of signing the biggest TV packages possible? Or health of the game? Obviously, ballplayers like money, owners like money, TV likes money. But when that becomes your only focus, it doesn't matter what art form we're talking about, it's to its detriment. Keep chipping away at the rules, keep watering things down. You're going to find yourself sitting on the couch in 20 years going, I don't even know I'm watching this anymore. I don't even know what this is. Careful with Rob. We listen to our fans. You don't have to believe them. I don't. Here's another trend. Well, you can't call it a trend, but I want to talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I call him the mega bust. He recently signed a contract that was so large, it astounded me. But he could say, it's half the price of Juan Soto. I'm at least half of Juan Soto, who signed an even more ludicrous contract. I think Vladimir is going to become the new Bobby Bonilla of bus contracts. So what he did here, he took half of the yearly salary of a Juan Soto, and he got most of it guaranteed, but he did it for 14 years. This guy's pretty overweight. So you tell me, is his motivation to be an excellent ball player going to increase once you get, I don't know, 20 plus million a year guaranteed? You're already overweight. You're already not arriving at your full potential. He hit 48 bombs in a year when he was really young. Hasn't seen that since. Not that it's easy to get back to that, but it's been a not a huge drop off, but a very noticeable drop off since then. You think this is going to give him extra motivation? Oh, I really got to prove things. The Blue Jays got themselves in a situation where the Sky Dome was a pretty cool place when it opened. That was a long time ago, and I don't think many people really want to play in Toronto. They got turf, they got the dome. Pretty questionable whether people want to play in Toronto. But the fans like Vladimir. He's done some good things for them. So they kind of pressured the ownership. You better sign this guy. And he applied that pressure to the ownership. And he inked something, I think, very smartly for him. But go ahead and watch. Now, he's going to have 14 years to prove me wrong on this contract. But I don't know that we'll be talking about it in the future. But I think this is a Bobby Bonilla-style bust, where if you can't get in shape for a few million or whatever he makes now, $5 million, $10 million, if that doesn't incentivize you enough to get in shape now, do you think inking a bigger contract will do that? I'm not seeing that. Not seeing that at all, actually. Mega bust. Vlad Jr. mega bust. You got 14 years to prove me wrong, buddy. And the other thing is, how soon till this guy becomes a DH? He plays first base. He'll occasionally play outfield, but I just see him moving into the DH slot real soon, swinging for the fences, and really questionable contract. When that came out, it really struck me as that was not the thing to do. But we'll see. Saw my dad recently, and we talk baseball when we can. I was asking him about how the Giants are doing. Is he watching games? And he said yes. And I know he's not wild about all the rules, so I asked him if those new rules ever affect his experience where he feels like he's getting less out of watching it because of the rules. And he said, well, not really. First thing, love the pitch clock. This was new. In the past, he's told me, well, I'm not wild about the pitch clock, but I can't handle the time wasting. Now he's coming to me with, love the pitch clock. And then he adds, but I can't stand the big two. At this point, I have no idea what the big two are. And I'm very curious because everyone's got their own opinion on what's the worst. He said, well, I mean, obviously, National League pitchers need to hit. And I go, okay, I can go along with that pretty easy. And he goes, and of course, and then I have no idea what number two is going to be. And he goes, oh, the ban on the shift. It's horrible. Well, Dad, what's so wrong with the ban on the shift? Well, in every sport, it's the defense's job to stop the offense. So now they're just not allowed to do that. And I couldn't agree with him more. But what I thought was funny was he thought of that as obviously the big two. I think you could make a pretty strong case for the base stealing, not being able to throw over whenever you want. I mean, Ohtani stole 50 bases, and it really irritated me that nobody mentioned that he was doing that under different rules. All people like to say was the first player ever, and really throwing around the word unprecedented more than it should be. But that was his take. The big two. The big two suck. But does he mind watching baseball? He's like, no, everything's fine. He doesn't have the same vitriol towards everything new, but he loves that the game's quicker, and he credits the pitch clock because it should get the credit for a quicker game. However, when there's a World Series game that gets affected by a pitch timer situation, you're going to feel that, and that's going to hurt. We got the ABS coming. Everyone's ready for that, right? The ABS is coming. I want to talk about what's going to be lost in this ABS abyss. And first thing I would like to state is when this gets implemented, which is probably next year, there's going to be an era where umpires won't really be making the same calls. They won't have the same power to call a game like they used to. So umpires have been calling baseball games as far back as baseball goes. If this goes on for 5, 10, 20 years, you're going to have a gap where umpires of the past won't be able to pass down what they know. They won't be able to teach the young umpires coming up how to properly call a game. This might not seem like a big deal to you because the future of baseball is in computers. Like, who needs an umpire anyway? What you're going to find out is the sport is not as interesting when computers are ruling things and humane governing bodies are not. It won't be as interesting. It can't be. It will be closer to a video game, but it won't be as interesting. We're not going to ever have that chance to have the homegrown umpire that's been doing it for 50 years come back if there's a 20-year gap. And so we might lose this version of the sport. And while you may think umpires are lousy at their job because they're critiqued in a way they never were before, they're held to a standard which doesn't properly reflect the sport. It's the umpire's job to basically tell the batter, you got to swing at anything close. This is a pitcher versus batter game. We're not just here to take walks. We're not here to take pitches that are a quarter of a centimeter off the plate. It doesn't necessarily matter if it touched the plate or not. You got to swing the bat. That's how action happens in the sport. The future of umpiring is in deep shit, and the longer the ABS is in charge of everything, the less of a chance we have getting the game back that is worthy of all the attention that we give it. Also lost in the ABS abyss will be the pitcher-umpire relationship with how pitches are called. You know, it's fun watching Madison Bumgarner just fight and nitpick for every call. That's going to be gone. The batter-umpire relationship, all the antics that come along with that, the rolling of the eyes. It might not seem like much, but when it's gone, you're not going to get it back. It's fun to watch players fight for what they believe was the right or wrong call. And when challenges come in, the fans are going to lose out on that interaction with a humane governing body. And that's the umpire. Being able to boo the umpires and have that whipping boy effect of it's your fault, that has a collective energy to it that is so important and so valuable when you go to the ballpark. When that dissipates and you can't have a group of 10 to 50,000 people cheering or booing together, you're losing something monumental that baseball has always had going for it. And losing out on the moment of the ball or strike call, the result of the umpire telling you immediately. Now think about the demonstrative third strike called, he got him, ha ha! The thrusting of the fist, the flinging the hand up, punching him out. Think about this. When an umpire knows that something's about to be challenged, do you really think that umpire is going to go through his full version of the beautiful punch out third strike, or is it going to be a little subdued? They're going to review it anyway, so no need to take it all the way downtown. Fans lose out on that. Might seem very, very minor, but when it's gone, you're not getting it back. Coaches, managers, arguing with umpires, you're ready to lose that, huh? Has somebody ever seen a manager run onto the field, kick dirt at an umpire, rip the bases out like Lou Piniella, and while it's all happening and while it's all starting, you're going, you know what, I'm going to go look for some nachos. Has that ever happened? Have you ever been watching on television and a manager runs out onto the field and you're like, all right, let's change the channel. This is going to be gone from baseball. And the ABS is the slow boil. They're going to take that, this balls and strikes calling away from the umpires, and then it's going to be all the calls on the field, sliding into second, that's going to be computer. Play at the plate, that's going to be computer. So you're going to miss out being able to boo the umpire. That's a lot of energy lost. That's energy you can tangibly feel when you're with 50,000 other people, all booing, rooting for your home team. That's going to be gone. And if big things like that are gone from baseball, people might not be quite as likely to go. And if there's less people in the ballpark, it's not as fun to watch on TV. That's just how it is. You want to see a packed house when you're watching a game. It reminds you that it's worth watching. Booing an umpire collectively in a ballpark is part of the game. And you're about to lose that. Down the drain, lost in the abyss of the ABS. So a lot of people lately have been asking me about banana ball. What do you think of banana ball? I think it's great. I think it's a new sport. I think it's based on baseball. They don't claim to have the best players in the world. They don't have balloon salaries. I think they can do whatever the hell they want, and that's what they're doing. Pitchers on stilts. They got people that can play the game. They got this effect of almost a Rocky Horror Picture Show. The fans get to be involved in a way that they're not just there to blankly stare. They're part of an experience. People really like that. Because baseball kind of got away from that fun experience where the more people are looking at their phone instead of being involved, the less you can feel that energy swirling around the park. So when you see banana ball highlights of these Savannah Bananas playing, you can feel the pulse in the ballpark that baseball may be missing. I'm all for banana ball. But go ahead and keep an eye out for this. Major League Baseball is going to get jealous. Banana ball got picked up by ESPN, so they're going to be playing banana ball games on ESPN when ESPN is not going to be playing Major League Baseball games. Think about that. Major League Baseball will be jealous. They're going to cherry pick some things that came out of banana ball and they're going to say, we should implement that because it's more exciting. They're not going to have an eye out for the purity, the beautiful, the things about baseball that you need to keep. If they're convinced there's more profits in it, they're going to it. So go ahead and watch out for a few cherry pick things from banana ball. It's coming. Banana ball is not held to a standard that Major League Baseball is. The standard Major League Baseball needs to be setting is we have the best players in the world and we play real baseball. And they're not doing that. I think it says a lot about where the state of baseball is, the fact that banana ball appears to be thriving. It says a lot. Let's talk about game one of the 2024 World Series. What do I want to talk about? I want to talk about the Mookie Betts walk. Here's why. I was lucky enough to watch that 10th inning live from my television. I wasn't in LA. But when Freddie Freeman hit that grand slam, I knew that was one of the great moments in baseball history. I almost had to pinch myself that it was real. Dodgers, Yankees. It was phenomenal. I can tell you right now how that would have been an even bigger, greater moment in baseball history, even though it already is one. It could be even bigger and better. Let me walk you through this. 10th inning, Dodgers come up, home team. Mookie Betts comes to the plate, two men on. Ex-MVP, Mookie Betts, one of their best players, steps up to the plate. This is how it could have and would have factually been an even more exciting moment. So up steps Mookie Betts. Catcher calls time, runs out to the mound. Manager comes out of the dugout. He goes out to the mound. They're talking for a minute. Crowd doesn't like it. They start booing, let's play baseball. It's extra innings. It's the World Series. Catcher goes back to home plate. Manager goes back to the dugout. Well, the catcher doesn't kneel at home plate. He stays standing up and he raises his hand out. He says, "We're going to walk Mookie. We're going to load the bases to get to Freddie Freeman." You tell me, you're in the ballpark. What do you do during that first pitch? What do you do when you find out they're going to walk your ex-MVP, Mookie, intentionally? Now, these are the days when you had to throw four pitches. You don't just get to snap your fingers in there on first base. You have to throw those four pitches. And if you throw a pass ball, you're on third base, you could score. So you got to throw those four pitches. Guess what's going to happen? Crowd starts booing. You don't boo Mookie. Hell no. Boo. You got 60,000 packed at Chavez Ravine, all collectively booing with each pitch getting louder and louder. 3-0 count. Boo. Oh, that feeling in the ballpark is intense. It's rising. We've worked all season since April. Here we are in October, and the stadium's roof, which doesn't exist, is getting blown off. It's getting crazy. 3-0, throwing that fourth pitch. Crowd is ecstatically booing. Now Freddie Freeman steps to the plate. Now he swings at that first pitch. Now he hits a no-doubt granny. That doesn't sound more fun to you than snap your fingers, Mookie's on first base now? Because when I was watching the game, I didn't even notice it happened. I don't know the Dodgers lineup good enough. I didn't know it happened. I had a buddy tell me him and his girlfriend were watching the game, and she's like, "Wait, what? How are the bases loaded? There's only been two batters." And he goes, "Well, now you know, you can just put a guy on base." And she's like, "Put a guy on base without throwing a pitch? Yeah." So she didn't know what happened. I'm not taking a thing away from the moment, and certainly nothing from Freddie. It's one of the great home runs I've ever seen. Maybe the best grand slam I've ever seen. I think it'd have to be. But it would have been better. It would have been even better if you had to throw those four pitches. So you be real careful when you're accepting the next rule change of like, is it really that big of a deal in baseball? Is it really that big of a deal to just like, you can't plow the catcher? Like, what's the big deal? Like, that play didn't happen that much. Yeah, like, why not have a clock? Like, all the sports have clocks. There's consequences to all these things. And you're getting a watered down version of baseball. And it's just getting more watery and more watery and more water. You're putting so much water in your Gatorade, it's tasting more like water than Gatorade. And we're not there yet. I still think we're at about a 90% of the sport. This ABS is coming. It's just going to start draining the beauty of the game. So this year, for the first time ever in my whole life, I'm a little league assistant coach. I'm one of the coaches on the team, not the head coach. And we're double A. Age 7, 8, maybe a 1 or 2 9-year-olds. I'm getting such a great example. I'm getting such an amazing cross-section of baseball and how it relates to life in America right now. So I'd like to share a few things with what I'm seeing. First off, my only comparison of the state of baseball through the youth is how it was when I played. We're getting into that almost 40 years ago range. But I'm noticing some really interesting things. Now, obviously the tendency is going to be, of course, we were better back then, overselling what it looked like for me as a 7-year-old and underselling what these kids are doing now that I'm older and I've seen more. But I know how certain things happened. So let me walk you through a couple things, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. So first off, the kids can hit pretty good. They're decent. And some of the kids can throw pretty good. And you go, wow, that's a pretty decent fastball. Because double A in this league, this is the first year where pitchers are throwing to the batters. There's no tee. So I'm seeing some pitchers pitch. Here's the deal. Those skills are kind of in a vacuum. Decent arm, decent bat. These kids can't play catch. They don't know how to play catch. They don't really know how to use their mitt. They don't really know how to turn it upside down in a way when it's a higher one. They only kind of know the basket catch. And this is not the case of when I was playing Little League. All the kids knew how to play catch. It's such a obvious thing that you probably do with your dad growing up. So I thought of a few things. Why on earth would these kids not be able to play catch? Because this is a very important thing. Baseballs are hard. You need to be able to defend yourself from the baseball while you're out on the field. So I thought of a few things. Number one, I don't think kids are playing on the playground like they used to in school. There's a lot less kids in school in general, a lot of kids doing homeschool. And I don't think you're getting that playground. Now we're playing football. Now we're playing Frisbee. Now we're playing basketball. Now we're playing baseball. And you kind of learn them all. I don't think that's happening to the same degree it was with us. So you're not getting the practice there. I don't think there's hardly any neighborhood games going on, which was basically my whole childhood. And if you're not getting that practice playing tag on the street with your buddies, I don't think kids are doing that. So they're losing out on all that practice, all that time as well, learning how to do the basics. And then as a tradition in America, dads pass on the sport to their sons. Well, I think dad is getting squeezed at work. We all know what inflation is doing. And so I think dad is less likely to have that extra 10 minutes to go out with Timmy and throw the ball and, you know, crouch behind a fake plate. And it's like, throw it here. And when I throw it back to you, you got to catch it. I mean, that was a thing my dad used to do with me when I would practice pitching with him. He would say, when I throw it back to you, you have to catch it or it's a ball. A ball gets added to the count. And I hated the rule, but I made sure to catch the ball. If I'm playing behind the plate and throwing the ball back to the pitcher, most of the time I'm throwing bouncers because they don't know how to catch it, or I don't have the confidence that they're not going to get hurt by it. What are you going to throw a ball back and plunk a kid in the head and now the parent's mad at you? You got to learn how to catch a ball, but these kids aren't being taught that. I feel like the parents don't want to have that discussion with their kids. They're like, the school will take care of it. And I have a feeling that that's what's going on with Little League. Instead of, you know, watching the game with your kid and going out and getting them ready, it's like, oh, we'll sign them up for Little League and they'll learn the sport. Well, here's a problem with that. You're going in knowing nothing. I mean, our cleanup hitting shortstop doesn't know where second base is. We're on maybe game 4 or 5. And I say, hey, you're playing second base. And he goes eagerly, yeah. Okay, where's that? I can promise you that's not how it was in the late 80s. Kids knew the generalities of baseball. I think most kids knew what a force play is. These kids have no clue. They don't know that you can run through first base. They have no idea. They have no idea whatsoever. I think the funniest thing to me, how it relates to the old US of A, these kids who don't know where second base is and don't know how to use a mitt, they got all the gear. I'm talking eye black, bat bags. They got their own helmets, personal helmets. I never once owned a personal helmet. Necklaces. I'm talking all the gear. Isn't that just the most perfect American thing to do? Is show up like you're a badass and you don't even know how to play catch. It's crazy. I don't think I even had a bat bag, a gear bag in Little League. And let me tell you how ridiculous that is. Every single practice, someone's leaving behind a mitt, a helmet, a water bottle. So they have the bag to carry these things home in, and they're mentally just not even there yet, but they got all the gear. All the gear. It's just hilarious. I think what it is, it's a great example of where baseball's at in America right now. I hesitate to call it an epidemic, but it is what it is. Baseball is not the national pastime of America anymore. And you can see it in these kids. It's not necessarily their fault, but that's where things are at. just messy. Everything's fine. But when it's gone, you're not getting it back. No need to take it all the way downtown. I want to find out who's listening. Write me at MonaLisaBaseball@gmail.com.